Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Legal Aid Works this morning, Ann Klockner is here, and she has brought an intern that we're going to meet as we go along this morning. Ann, it's great to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted.
It's been too long since we have talked, and so we have much to catch up about. Legal Aid Works. People hear that a lot, and many probably wonder what it is. We'll talk about what Legal Aid Works does.
Sure. Most people have heard on TV over and over again, you have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. Everyone has that memorized, right?
Yes, and I date myself because I go back to, you always hear that on Dragnet.
Dragnet.
And that totally dates me. But it's more, there's more current shows.
Sure, Law and Order, CSI. Yes. But that has nothing to do with us. So that right to a free lawyer when you're low income and you can't afford a lawyer and one is going to be appointed for you only occurs when you've been accused of a crime. So that means that if you're poor, low income, and you can't afford a lawyer and you have a civil legal problem, tough luck. That's our system. So you're left on your own to navigate a really complex civil court system when, for example, you have a civil problem like your landlord is illegally evicting you, your mortgage company is illegally foreclosing on your house, they're not following the rules. You are facing a domestic violence situation. Most people think, well, wouldn't somebody help a domestic violence victim? Actually, the first thing you're going to need when you're a domestic violence victim is a civil protective order. And so you would go to the courthouse. The abuser is on the other side, and they're there. They probably are going to have more money than you. They might have a lawyer.
Yeah.
Will the judge appoint a lawyer for the victim to level the playing field?
No.
Never. What the heck? That's our system.
And that is, you know, when I say, you know, no, or I'm thinking probably not, and when you say never, I mean, never means never.
Never means never. There is no right, and there is no system in place, and no obligation on anyone's part to level that legal playing field. And now we wonder why she doesn't leave. Because she knows she's going to face a legal buzzsaw when she goes to court. It's just that simple. So the judge has one role, and that is to be the neutral arbiter of what's happening in front. So the judge can't say, oh, sweetheart, you're doing a terrible job cross-examining your abuser. Let me jump off the bench here and help you.
Yeah.
They can't do that. They can't advise her how to introduce documents into evidence. They can't advise her about how to subpoena a witness. So she's going to be at a disadvantage. And that's where we come in. We're a private nonprofit. We exist simply because it bugs us when people are treated differently in the civil court system only because of their bank account. They may have the law on their side, they may have the facts on their side, but they simply don't know how to navigate this system because it was a system designed by lawyers for lawyers, and it worked great when you have a lawyer, and it doesn't work so great when you don't. And if you're representing yourself, if you're going in on your own, you are always going to be at a disadvantage, even when you have all the law and the facts on your side, because there are just no guarantees about how this will come out when you're unaware of all the rules.
And you're at a huge disadvantage just because the legal system is the legal system.
Yeah. So we've talked already about in housing cases, when you get a piece of paper in the mail and it says unlawful detainer, what does that even mean?
I was just going to say.
That means an eviction.
Yeah.
You're being evicted. We have folks who show up in court on the eviction day, on eviction docket day, and we come up to them and say, we're from Legal Aid. You know, we can screen you and see if you're eligible, give you some quick advice if you, you know, you want to avoid an eviction. And they say, oh, we're not here for an eviction. And we said, oh, yes, you are. yes, you are. But they don't even have that ability to understand it. It's not because they're dumb. It's not because they are ignorant.
It's a different language.
It's literally a different language that we speak. And so we have labeled all these terms, all these very difficult to understand terms. So even just the language gets in your way, so that somebody could arrive at a courthouse not even understanding. And then sometimes they get through the case and they walk out and they're in the parking lot and they say, did I win? Did I lose?
What just happened?
What just happened? And they were there.
Yeah.
And they went through it. That's how impenetrable, how difficult our justice system is without somebody to interpret it for you and navigate and be your advocate.
And as you set this up, Anne, and talked about just some real broad scenarios, right away I thought, and then you said it, that the person on the other side is generally the one with the money, with the lawyer.
Well, even when they aren't with the lawyer, they're usually in a position of power over that other person. So the abuser over the survivor, the landlord over the tenant. They aren't always in a power differential, but a lot of times they are. And so even under those circumstances, even if you understood your rights and the legal playing field, you'd still be dealing with that power differential. And it's always a good idea to have a wingman, to have somebody who can be there with you and be the advocate you need.
Legal Aid works in how many localities around here?
So 17 counties. We serve people all through this region. We have an office in Fredericksburg that covers the five counties around here. Seven counties are covered through our Tappahannock office. And then we have an office in Culpeper that covers five counties as well. So we go from the Blue Ridge to the Chesapeake. It's a pretty wide swath right through the center of Virginia and basically follows roughly the route that the Rappahannock River takes from the mountains to the ocean.
More coming up. We're going to talk about Legal Aid Works, and we're going to meet a summer intern that you have brought along this morning. Ann Klockner here with Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Legal Aid Works this morning. LegalAidWorks.org is the website, LegalAidWorks.org. Ann Klockner is here, and Ann, you have brought a summer intern. When you told me you were bringing a summer intern, I've never thought of Legal Aid Works having summer interns, but that makes perfect sense of where someone can come in and see the workings of the office.
We have two purposes when we have interns. One is we are a nonprofit just like anyone else, and we need volunteers. Mm-hmm. And we need people to come in and help, and that's always appreciated all during the year. And the second purpose is that we are really committed to introducing people to the idea of legal aid.
Yeah.
So that if they're interested in a legal career, either that they would consider working at Legal Aid when they get to that point in their career, or that they at least know about us and can support us in the future as either a pro bono attorney or donating to us. So we try to inoculate them with a serum that makes them incapable of ignoring this issue of access to justice for the rest of their lives. So we have a little bit of a proselytizing and making sure that people understand what this really is and how important this is in the civil court system. So it also is just fun to be around interns in the summer because they aren't as embittered and cynical as we are.
Right.
And they also are our connection to University of Mary Washington, which has been a wonderful partner for us with Jazz for Justice and lots of other things.
Yeah.
And the students actually get course credit as well. So it's a kind of win-win-win on all kinds of different fronts.
You would be a fun person to work under. I mean, you've done a few things in your day.
I think there's opinions on that vary.
Well, there may be.
Yeah.
There may be. We I don't know whether we wanted to talk about that on air with anyone. It could get awkward. So who have you brought along this morning?
Well, my name is Danielle. I am a Mary Washington rising senior, and I. How did I meet Ms. Klockner? I was looking around for internships because my thing is I want to gain as much experience as possible. I had a previous internship with another nonprofit called Failsafe ERA, and I really enjoyed that internship. And it definitely, because I was working with a one-on-one with people, you know, who were clients with Failsafe, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of things in our system that are very much questionable.
Yeah.
And when I came across Legal Aid Works, it very much reminded me of Failsafe. And it had a lot more of the legal part that I was looking for. And when I interviewed with Ms. Klockner, I was like, you know what, this is perfect. Because I don't know exactly what I want to do yet with law. People ask me all the time, oh, like, what law do you want to practice? I don't know yet. Let's pass the LSAT first, and then we'll see.
Yeah.
But the thing that I really enjoy about working with Legal Aid Works is they are genuinely making a change in people's lives that are very much, sorry, I'm trying to find the right words, that are very much looked down upon and not taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And Ms. Klockner and the rest of her team, and, you know, from what I've observed, are working really hard to tell these people, we are going to help you. And we're going to make things right. And another thing that that really stuck with me when I interviewed with Ms. Klockner, and surprisingly, it wasn't that big of a deal, but the way that she told me to dress like you respect the client. Because
that is interesting.
A lot of these people, when they think of, you know, like legal aid, it's less of like, oh, you're a big, like, attorney that works for, a large firm, and, you know, you're charging, like, over $10,000 an hour or whatever. You know, it's not an appointed attorney, but you're not paying hourly to have representation. And they take their job so seriously, and it's really an honor to be an intern and to see all of these things. And I have learned so much. Some things I'm still like, wait, what? And when I went to court, I thought I understood what was going on. And I was like, okay, I got this. And then Ms. Klockner was like, so what was the judge's opinion? And I'm like, good question. I had to run that down with one of the attorneys that I shadowed. And it's just been an amazing experience. So I'm really enjoying being an intern at Legal Aid Works.
Isn't that interesting, though? Just something little, just the dressing part of it, of how important that is, and how that makes the person that you're representing know that you're serious, and you take them seriously, and that you want to just show that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know I feel like too it's less about like the name and like, oh well, I'm this big attorney person, you know. They are helping people. I mean, they're volunteers. I mean, they have part-time attorneys. The one that I worked with was part-time, but again, they're not making like a ton of money. They're doing it because they care, and the way they present themselves really shows that they care. And I think that's what got me into thinking about doing law. My dad was actually an attorney. He was a prosecutor in the Bronx, I believe, in the 90s. And now he is working for the government. But I think it's just that aspect of changing people's lives. They're trusting you with not being evicted.
Yeah.
With all these different, you know, dynamics that they have with their family. I mean, there are serious issues that, you know, I've come across in being an intern here, and things I've just seen that I'm like, wow, you're really trusting this person. You know, I mean, before you met them, this attorney was a stranger to you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're trusting them with your life, in a way. It's not like a medical issue. I can't do medical. My mom was a nurse. No.
Yeah.
Not for me.
But still.
But it's still, you're having a major impact. And when my dad was a prosecutor, he would get handwritten letters from, you know, clients or, well, not clients necessarily. He was a public defender. But the victims or the victim's family just thanking him.
Yeah.
And I believe he still has some of those letters. So he very much is like, it's not about the money. It's not about, you know, the name. It's about helping people. And I'm very much there for it.
You really are, Anne, dealing with, you're able to kind of mold and show interns what you do, and hope that they get a feel for this. Because I know when you've brought in just even different attorneys in town that are either work with you on your board or have done. We'll do legal aid works kind of cases.
Mm-hmm.
How interesting.
So just like in the medical field, in the legal field, there's so many different choices. Yeah, you have a law degree, but you could do lots of different law. And everyone chooses something that just fits their personality or whatever. And legal aid is not for everything and for everyone. But I think it's a super important thing for all lawyers to be aware of, mm-hmm. and to understand and to support. Because when we don't have legal aid, and we could go away tomorrow, there's no right to these services. So we're just like any soup kitchen or food pantry or whatever. If we run out of soup, you know, that's it. Mm-hmm. We're done. But I think most lawyers would benefit from knowing about the fact that this happens. And you'd think, well, all lawyers know about this. Actually, no. It's just amazing.
I was just going to say, we did a show last year on this. And that was one of the goals, to get other lawyers involved and to do some cases.
That's right. So in our service region, there's over 600 private attorneys who could potentially do pro bono for us. And of those potential 600 attorneys who could volunteer and do a pro bono case for us, about 4 help us on a regular basis.
I don't even want to think of what that percentage is. I mean, that number 600. And so I'm thinking just now, oh, okay, well, if you've got a couple of hundred, then maybe you bump that up and 4.
4. And those are wonderful people and really terrific. And so, yeah, we always need more pro bono attorneys. It's always a need for us. We make it super easy for them. We give them very specific, well-screened cases. Like, for example, in divorces, we give them uncontested, just very, very quick issues. And wills, power of attorney, living wills, something that's very easy to draft and create. It definitely is a need out there. But as Danielle said, there's lots of different paths you could take. She's not sure what path she'll take. But at least she knows that when she takes that path, whatever that path is, wherever her community is that she lives, she'll probably be aware of the legal aid in that that community,
right,
and be able to support them either with a donation or with some kind of pro bono help. So it's always a good thing for us to get interns, even when they don't become lawyers, at the end of their education. They can still be a part of a community, mm-hmm. support for a nonprofit that helps with access to justice.
Well, your story is so interesting, Danielle, just because of what your dad had a background. So you you had a, you knew some things that some of us wouldn't know, but still it sounds like you've come in and it's been kind of an eye opener on some of these things.
It very much has. My dad, so this is civil work. My dad did criminal work, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
I wasn't entirely sure, like Ms. Klockner said earlier, it's a different language. There are some things where I very much had to write it down because I'm like, what is that? But I think that because of what my dad has told me, there are definitely people who need help.
Yeah.
And who need to feel safe. The Bronx in the 90s was not the place to be. It was, I believe they cleaned it up a little bit, but, there were some things that, were very difficult to hear and very unimaginable. And these are people's lives. And it's the same thing with legal aid works. It's amazing as to what people will do to one another. And I think that's just one of those things that I'm like, that keeps me so interested in law. It's just the way people work,
mm-hmm.
you know? And in a way, you're like, gaining into this person's psyche of like, how can we help you? What do you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
what can you tell me? So help me help you. So I think that's one of those things that I have observed as well.
We need to take a quick break. We're going to continue on. Danielle is here. She's a summer intern with Legal Aid Works, executive director, and Klockner is here this morning too. LegalAidWorks.org. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Legal Aid Works this morning, Ann Klockner and Danielle, a summer intern here this morning. LegalAidWorks.org if you want to find out more about what is going on in the world of Legal Aid Works and how you can get involved financially. And we'll talk about that before we get out of here. So, Danielle, as a summer intern at Legal Aid Works, what does a summer intern do?
So there's another intern. So there's two of us, and our
so
first
at lunch you can sit around and talk about. Can you believe they said
that? Yeah. I mean, I think we're both quiet.
Yeah.
So we stay in our offices. Usually, I'm just like scrolling through Instagram or something on my lunch break. But as for assignments, our first one was to do a housing guide, and essentially there's a bunch of listings of affordable housing. And they give it to our clients, you know, for people who need a housing, and that's within their budget. So essentially what Ms. Klockner had us do was call each listing and get updated information, because obviously if somebody wants a home, they're going to need the most recent version of that listing. So we've been calling since like mid-May. Sometimes it's difficult to reach people.
Yeah.
Because we had to leave a ton of voicemails.
Or things change, which is why you're doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. There was one. I mean, there are some places that are like, yeah, we're still the same. Or there's some places where it's like, how old is that? I mean, that's completely changed. So.
Yeah.
You know, we've been doing that. We're also working with the clerk, our law clerk. I think she's at the Culpeper location. So we're in communication with her, you know, as to get the updated legal aspect of this housing guide. And then we're going to combine that, and then it's due the beginning of July. So we're almost done with it. We're just waiting to hear back from the clerk and get, like, a final review on it. So we're almost there. Another assignment, not really an assignment, but another thing that they're having us learn is how to close cases. And essentially, it's just a summary of the case. So, you know, when the attorneys are looking at it, it's not just like a bunch of documents. It's just one simple thing saying, you know, what happened. And, you know, they have like the hours on there as to how long they spent looking at that case. I think it's through Kemp's. And they have these different numbers because we had examples. We were given examples because we had to go through training. We were given examples of past case closings. And I was like, what are these numbers? And it was a huge list. And essentially, it was like a code for if something was domestic or it was if it was an eviction or things like that, which I was like, that's really interesting. I didn't know that, you know, there were codes for things.
Yeah.
You know, it very much is like a different language. I mean, it's codes. It's all these like Latin terminology. So it was really cool. You know, obviously, me and the other intern, we've gone, I think the other intern's currently at court. I've been to court in the past, organizing documents, not my favorite, but definitely important because, you know, as an attorney, you deal with a lot of paperwork, and even as an intern, I've collected so much paperwork, especially with the housing guide. You know, it's very important to know how to organize those things, so we're tasked with organizing documents as well. You know, calling people for information, you know, just how, and also helping out with simple tasks like the mail and things like that.
And those are things, and as Danielle talks about the housing guide, that's a time consuming thing, and you've got with a limited staff aren't able to do that. But what an important document that is for your clients.
Sure, we've been producing this housing guide for over 20 years.
I thought so.
And it's on our website. It's in English and Spanish. We update it every year because the laws change. The first part of the housing guide is a listing of all your rights as a tenant in Virginia. What do I do about mold in my apartment? How long does the landlord get to keep my security deposit before he gives it back to me at the end? You know, all kinds of questions about the eviction process,
yeah,
things like that. And that gets updated every year by our summer law clerk, who researches and looks at all the laws that were passed by the General Assembly from January through March. They all take effect, those new laws, July 1st. Mm-hmm. So that's our deadline for producing our new housing guide every year. And the second part of the housing guide is all of the affordable housing we know of in the community. And so we could try to update that every year by using our staff attorneys to update the legal part and have our support staff update all the listings. But it is very time consuming,
sure,
and it is very detail oriented work, and it would take away from the very small staff we have trying to meet the needs of our clients. So it is a godsend to be able every summer to turn that over. You know, they show up in May and they know that June 30th, they've got to produce English and Spanish updated versions of our housing guides.
So it's a lot of work, but like you say, Danielle, boy, it sure helps the clients and the people that need it.
Yes.
So that makes all the work that you're doing nothing is too ordinary.
Yes. Yes. Even the smallest things make a difference. You know, it is time consuming. It is very detail oriented, but these people, you know, they'll come in needing it. You know, I mean, they can't just be out on the street. They need some place to live. And, you know, me and the other intern and I were making sure that these people have updated information as to,
yeah,
where they can live. And that's very important. So.
Yeah. That document, because we have talked about that document before, Anne, and boy, that really is something that it's just so vital especially in this area.
We give out probably 1,000 of them every year, and they're available, downloadable on our website, on our resources tab. And so it's a huge, important document. It was started many years ago by one of our paralegals. She just took it upon herself. Yeah. She was at one point, she was just an astonishing person. She always told everyone that she was our oldest paralegal because I think she retired finally in her 80s. But she had been the director of the Thurman Brisbane homeless shelter for a while. So she really understood the needs of the, it's Ellen Hartzler, wonderful, wonderful member of the community. And she came up with this idea and said, you know, so many people are being evicted, not because of anything except the fact that they don't know what the rules are and they get taken advantage of. They don't know what their rights are or their responsibilities. They don't know what the landlord's rights or responsibilities are. And if we just laid that all out and help them with that, they would be in a better position and be able to know their rights and take advantage of that information.
And you're the perfect, you're the perfect organization to have that and to be able to house that and to update it and do what you need to do.
Right. And so every year when I put it back onto the website updated, I think of Ellen and just say that was really a great idea, and I think she would be thrilled to know that it's still continuing.
Ann Klockner here from Legal Aid Works along with Danielle. She is a summer intern. Speaking of housing and tenants and things, you are doing, you did, and have done this before, of partnering with the Central Rappahannock Regional Library.
We are. We had called it at one point, we called it Lawyer in the Library. We had to change that name because everyone was showing up with just unbelievably wide variety of different legal topics.
Because it's a lawyer.
Yeah. So we got mobbed, which was great. But it was kind of like stump the lawyer. It was like, you know, you just don't know what's going to come in. We are focusing really what we were really intending on, and we're really trying to get folks to focus on when they come to us there, is questions about tenants' rights. So we're calling it a Tenants Know Your Rights drop-in sessions. So there's a lawyer at the library from our office on the I think it's not, I put it down here as second and fourth. I think it's first and third.
Okay.
Got to get that right. First and third Tuesdays, 1 to 3 p.m. So that's today. And who's the lawyer you're going to see at the library today giving advice on tenants' rights? Well, that would be me.
I was just going to say, if you're asking that question, there's only one lawyer in this room right now.
Correct. So the dates in June are June 4th and June 18th, and that's 1 to 3 p.m. You go to room one down in the basement, and we are just hanging out there waiting for folks to stop by and ask us a legal question about their rights as tenants. And we have all kinds of information. We have the housing guide there. We have other information as well about your rights as a tenant. We also have another date if there's a fifth Tuesday, which happens four times a year that you have a fifth Tuesday, that's 5 to 7 p.m. So if you can't come during the day at from 1 to 3 on the first and third Tuesdays, you can come to our fifth Tuesday at 5 to 7. So the dates coming up in June are today from 1 to 3, June 18th from 1 to 3, and then in July, it's July 2nd and 16th. From 1 to 3, and then July 30th is that fifth Tuesday, and we're at 5 to 7. And if you have other legal questions, you can certainly go through our intake process, and that's through our website at legalaidworks.org. You click on the Get Help tab, and that will walk you through all of our intake procedures for any other kind of legal issues that we help with. But we see so many people in this community. It's not unusual in Spotsylvania or Stafford to have 80 or 90 evictions scheduled on a week's docket for evictions.
80 to 90.
It's astonishing. It's jaw-dropping. And so what we do is we go into court on the days when our attorneys are available to do what we call outreach to, we have a paralegal and an attorney just go in and in between when people arrive and they're waiting in the hallway and when the first case is called, we walk through the hallway doing quick intakes and trying to get advice out to people really quickly and sometimes even jump in and help them in their case that morning.
Yeah.
But we can't be everywhere. So we really try to do these kind of outreach events at the library. The library has been wonderful to work with. It's such a central location. Everybody knows where it is. It's a really wonderful opportunity for us to be out in the community. And so first and third Tuesdays, 1 to 3.
And even if you think you know your rights, and even if you think you know this, we've played this little game before of where you'll ask questions, and I have been way lacking. I think a lot of us don't understand. And the law is always changing, too. Like you said, the General Assembly is changing legislation all the time.
Right. So it really is a smart thing to know your rights. I think you really are empowered when you know what is and is not possible. What are your defenses? So many people, when they get an eviction notice, they just pack up and go away. And they don't question, did they do it right? Did they follow the rules? Is there any defense to this? Am I right and they're wrong? How could that even be? Well, it could be, but you don't know until you are armed with that information. And so that's why we do this housing guide. That's why we go out into the community and do the tenants' rights presentations, because we know that there's a huge problem out there with lack of affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And one of the symptoms that comes from a problem of affordable housing is that landlords know that. And they can take advantage of somebody who's desperate, absolutely desperate. And so the landlord may cut corners or not follow the rules. And the tenant is just so desperate, they don't want that scarlet E on their forehead of an eviction, because then that makes it impossible for them to find a decent place somewhere else. So I think it's one of the most important issues that this community could address is lack of affordable housing.
And sometimes not only do the tenants not know, the landlords think they know, and obviously sometimes they are violating the law knowingly, but other times they may not understand the law.
Oh, there's absolutely a huge gap in knowledge on the landlord side as well.
Yeah.
They get a form off the internet and they think they're done. But a lot of times it just creates more problems than it solves. So, yeah, it's really, really helpful for us to get the word out to the tenant community about what their rights are so that they can be responsible tenants and be able to defend themselves when they're not being treated fairly.
And you and I talked a lot during this was a huge topic during the pandemic, because everything was changing monthly, weekly, sometimes daily. And so this is an issue. So if you've got questions, this is a great go to legalaidworks.org, get help. We'll give you the dates of this and slide them by to the library and ask some questions if you need to.
You bet. We would love to see people there. Again, it's first and third Tuesdays, 1 to 3. This month it's June 4th today and June 18th.
We're going to come back and wrap this up. We'll talk with a little bit more with Danielle and hear what's up next with her. And we'll also talk about just getting involved financially with Legal Aid Works and why that's a good idea because of all the good things that they do in the community. LegalAidWorks.org. Dan Klockner is here, the executive director, along with Danielle. She is a UMW student who is a summer intern at Legal Aid Works on Lafayette Boulevard around here, but as we have talked about, offices also in Tappahannock and Culpeper. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Hi,
this is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Legal Aid Works. Ann Klockner and Danielle, a summer intern. Before we get out of here, so Danielle, you were talking about the law school admissions tests that you're getting ready for that.
Yes.
I've known people that have to, you know, get ready for medical school and things like that. I'm sure it's the same thing of where you just study and a lot of note cards and things like that.
Yeah. So the thing about the LSAT, I think at least for me, that was the hardest. You don't use normal logic. It's a different way of thinking than how you would normally think. You can't make assumptions. You can't be opinion-based. You can't, like, you can't assume anything. And
so, past case law, things like that?
It's, with the LSAT, it's very much, it's, I'm trying to describe it, because it can be hard to describe. My dad had a hard time describing it to me, too. He said, you'll know once you start.
Okay.
It's not like, it doesn't have anything to do with the law. There's nothing, there's no cases involved.
Oh, okay.
There's none of that involved. It's just a bunch of reading comprehension, logic, and I believe there's a writing portion. They used to have a logic game section, but I think they got rid of that. The writing portion is not as prominent because you're doing a lot of writing for applications anyway. So you're going to be doing writing either way. So they're not, like, completely concerned. What they're concerned most about is reading comprehension and logic. And with the logic section, you have to find, like, flaws in arguments. There was one exercise that I did where I had to figure out the flaw in the argument. I had to figure out the reasoning as well as the argument itself. There are keywords that you look for, like therefore, hence, and all these other terms, you know, all these other words. Sometimes it doesn't even have a word attached to it. You just kind of have to figure it out. When I initially did the exam, because what my tutor had me do was take a practice LSAT, you know, just as kind of like a diagnostic of, okay, what do we have to focus on? I would look at these and I'm like, I don't even see a flaw. Like, because you can't use normal reasoning. There's sometimes it won't have a flaw, but sometimes it will, and it's very vague. And
thus, you have a tutor.
Exactly. My tutor, he was a professor at a law school. He's an attorney himself. He's been doing this for like over 20 years, I believe, something like that. So he's very much. I thought this would be more of a grueling process. It actually has been kind of fun. Don't get me wrong, sometimes I'm like, I need to stop or else my head is gonna explode.
Sure.
But he makes it fun because he lets me figure things out for myself. So,
well, good luck. Good
Thank
luck
you.
And I look forward to the day when you maybe come back here and you're part of the team at Legal Aid Works. And it's important, I know, that with what you do financially, you're always looking for the community and all kinds of information at legalaidworks.org.
It's always a good thing to stop by there for any kind of information. If you would like to support us, there's lots of different ways to do that. You can be a recurring monthly donor. You can give a one-time donation. You can find out about our events like Jazz for Justice, which is November 2nd this year. And you can just download lots of good Know Your Rights information about Virginia law.
And the attendance Know Your Rights goes down at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library first and third Tuesdays. And all kinds of good information at legalaidworks.org. Danielle, great to meet you. Thank you for coming in. And good luck your senior year at UMW.
Thank you.
And Klotner, good to have you here. We'll get together again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
LegalAidWorks.org. They do great work in the community, 17 counties around here. Get involved, LegalAidWorks.org. That's it. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.